always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
By the way, you know when the Lakers' next second rounder is coming in that they have control of?
Is it 2030?
A little farther.
Further?
Second rounder. Yeah, it's further. Yeah.
When is it?
2032 is their next second rounder. So remember, three went out for Dorian, and then
who they lost?
Yes, for nothing. Which they turned into Aiden Laravia.
Yeah, but like, it wasn't
a one for one trade, but yeah, 3 seconds went out for Dorian. There was another trade that they did. I think Gabe for Kennard was also a second rounder involved, if I have that correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a Nets one that was gone out.
Also needs, you know, repeating that the Lakers basically every year push really hard to buy a second rounder. So
last year, did they have a second rounder?
They bought one and then traded it a couple times to move back. Or no, so traded it and stuff to move up, I believe. So they bought one outright, and then they traded it in cash to move up once, and then they bought it and more, or they sent that pick and more cash to move up one more spot or a few more spots, and then they drafted Thero.
Yes. So this year Toronto owns our second rounder, and so I'm not sure where that came from or where it originated, but anyway, Toronto has it. 2027 is Brooklyn's from the DFS one. 2028, Orlando or Washington. I don't remember don't know where that pick came from, but in any case, 2029, that's Dallas owns our first in 2029. Washington owns our second rounder in 2029. Don't remember the trade.
But this is also what happens when you're as willing as the Lakers are to just lose free agents, right? Yeah. Like, if you knew that you were getting ready to lose, say, like Malik Beasley, could you have traded him for a second rounder, you know, at a time when he was not considered an avid gambler, allegedly?
I'll let you.
But like,
I wasn't expecting that. I thought you'd be like, oh, when you realize he couldn't shoot in the playoffs, you know, or something like that, I thought was coming up. But like, oh, the lights were too bright in the playoffs or something like that, you know, real things, objective right. realities.
Or like Chris is saying here, right? Like Rui, right? He's somebody who may not have like a $20 million a year market coming up, but mm-hmm. he is somebody who like teams are interested in and were interested in at the deadline. And if you thought that there was a real chance, as there appears to be, that you're going to lose Rui for nothing, losing him for nothing without getting a second rounder for him just really kind of hurts, you know, and to do that over and over and over again. And this, by the way, like spans multiple front offices, right? Because I remember Mitch Kupchak used to say, well, you're better off losing a free agent for nothing than taking on a contract that you don't love. And it's like, okay, but you take on that contract that you don't necessarily love, but you get a pick for that player. It was always the thing that I used to disagree vehemently with Mitch about, that and his strict anti-tampering tendencies.
So I forgot about this. Last year, the Lakers were part of the 7-team Kevin Durant trade, where they gave up a second rounder to move up to take Thero at 36. So that's what happened mm-hmm. last year. But yeah, I mean, that shocked me when I saw it, that we don't own a second rounder till 2032. I mean, and again, at the time, I think Dorian was like, that trade was universally accepted.
Like, yeah,
like that was the perfect player to get. I think to your point, you got to keep that player in some sense, or I mean, the way that's like,
or work, you know, harder to try to convince Houston to make it a sign and trade, you know, and get something out of that. Cause remember, Houston was involved in that like 17. Remember that 17 trade that went down last summer, whatever it was.
I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, as part of it, the Lakers could have, you know, worked harder to convince Houston to include the Lakers in that deal so that the Lakers could have gotten something. I remember it was Whitmer, who Houston was trying to offload or something like that. Or they were, no, yeah. They acquired.
No, Lakers were involved. They were the like least involved though, where they, yeah. All they did was give up a second rounder to get another second rounder. All these other teams had a long list of things in that transaction. But yeah, I mean, I guess the argument also, you get the space from that when that player leaves, right? You don't get an actual asset, but you get the money that he's leaving you to go use the mid-level, right? Or to go pay Marcus Smart with the biannual or whatever, like the idea was. And then you can split that up to give to Ayton, which I think like Ayton worked for what he was supposed to be. He's not the long-term solution, but DeAndre Ayton, I think, had...
Well, maybe he has to be.
Oh, that would... That'd be quite the...
Right now, Raj, you look like that meme of the soldier who, like, is like wearing his helmet over here, and like the whole battle is going on around
him. Where his eyes are all wide, like, oh, you just
saw... He's just like, oh my God. DeAndre Ayton might start for the Lakers next year.
I can't. I'd be shocked.
Anywho, but let's go ahead and dive into. I can't believe we've been here an hour and we're still.
What pick are we at?
5 picks from the Lakers.
Okay.
This is wild.
I think these go a little faster because they don't need the whole clock. Like usually the first top 10 picks take like the whole clock.
We're definitely at the part of like a fantasy draft where you're like, dude, come on. It's round 6. What are we doing?
You don't know any of these names. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and answer a couple of your guys's questions and comments of the super variety, which means you get to play the most important sound on the show. This is why I look like this, everybody. This is why I'm losing my mind. Whoop, wrong clip. Fuck Washington! All right,
it's a jump scare a little bit on that one. I'm not gonna lie.
What's that?
It's a little bit of a jump scare when you're not ready for it.
When you're not ready for it. Did I send you the link to that? Somebody in the comment section had told me that apparently made some like YouTube documentary about Darvin Ham.
Oh, and, no, you did not.
Yeah, I texted Jovan because he and I were like featured pretty heavily in the video that the guy made. Anywho, that video, that doc though, has like 750,000 views on it, which means. Wow. Yeah, which means that the 750,000 people only know me by like that.
Right. Essentially. Crazy man with paints his face. Yeah.
All right. So the first super comment that we got over the course of the show was from Justin Tindall, who a while back wrote, could this summer be Kawhi 2.0? If Pelinka strikes out on RFA in restricted free agency, Rui could sign elsewhere before restricted free agents are off the table. What does Pelinka do then? Yeah, I mean, that's the risk, right? When you, in order to make the kind of offer that would make Utah think or make Denver scramble to move off of Cam Johnson or Christian Brown or Aaron Gordon, what you would, you know, risk by doing that is while you're waiting, the rest of the offseason can kind of pass you up. And you could be on the outside looking in of your own guys. And now all of a sudden the team is now worse than it was at the beginning of the summer. And then if the team matches, right, then you're just completely screwed. which is why so many teams just don't mess with restricted free agency.
Restricted free agency. Yeah, it's a dangerous game, and it's usually doesn't really go well for the player because the team home team has all the leverage. You can't just go and tell them you have an offer sheet out there. You have to legally show them the offer sheet, and they have time to match it. This is where I think you talked earlier about intel is super important, right? Where the amount, not very many teams steal a player in restricted free agency, but the very few times you do, usually that is known way beforehand. You don't really find, you shouldn't be sitting there holding your hands, hoping that a team matches or doesn't match. That should be known by the time you give the offer from it. But I mean, Kawhi 2.0, that would be, I will never forget that summer. What an incredible summer that was. Especially finding out about Kawhi and all that. But I don't know. This feels a lot different than that, though. That was, that team, I try to make this point, that team was a little bit more built than people remember it. Like, it felt like thinking back on it, that the team was just created out of thin air that summer, which is not true. A lot of the players were already on the team. JaVale, Rondo, Caruso, obviously LeBron, Kuzma. These were all guys already on the team that were part of the 8-9 man rotation. They added KCP as well was already on the team, right? So they added Avery Bradley, Dwight Howard, obviously Anthony Davis, which was the biggest add. But the rest of that team was already in place. AD came and made everything. AD was a top three player that season. And so he kind of made everything work, but that was kind of difference between that and this year coming up.
I as far as like what does Rob do if restricted free agency doesn't break well for him, you know, it's Ayton. It's Ayton. It's this, like, it's basically the same roster as last year with maybe the non-taxpayer mid-level exception. And you kind of go from there.
There's no way. I'd be shocked if that's the result of this summer, that you just bring 90% of this team back. I think you can bring a lot of this team back and be like, and it makes sense. Like, really smart Jackson. I could all see back next season and the team still looks a lot better than it was a year ago.
Intel is wild writing. Fuck Boston. Completely agree. Let's see the next one here. I think we have a couple more. Dun, 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 dun. Wow. You guys are going after Pelinka's neck correctly. I think, you know, based on what little has happened so far, I thought the summer of 2026 was supposed to be it. Rob clown emoji. That is, it's good to know that Luka Doncic is watching the show live. Let's see. I think that'll do it. Yeah. I think, as we continue to wait here, San Antonio is now on the clock at number 20. I'm afraid to mention, Raj, the one guy who I was hoping would fall to the Lakers. Like, I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to ruin this. Okay. But if the Spurs specifically get this guy, I am going to freaking lose it because I'm sick and tired of the Spurs getting all the good people. RG8179 writing, dude, this Anthony guy is so cringe. Avery is in the chat too. That's good to know as well. As we roll right along here, Raj. Do you want to talk? Let's see. We talked about
what centers, pick are they?
We talked about LeBron.
What pick are we? What pick are we at?
20. The Spurs on the clock at 20
20.
I'm telling you, these picks.
You said we were five picks away like 20 minutes ago. We're still five picks away?
I never said. I said we were five picks ago like a second ago.
Oh, really? But,
okay. I said we were seven picks ago a half hour ago.
yeah, we're going to pick when the sun is down. This is crazy. It's 7:20 here in LA. Been down
over here.
Yeah, over there, but in LA?
The sun has set on the Lakers, and they are selecting number 25. So let's talk about Austin. I think that was the only other subject that we didn't broach here. I don't like discussing free agency this way, in like discussing like what a player should get, what number would benefit a team, what number like fans should maybe be rooting for, you know, if a player does get whatever free agency deal. I saw Jovan put out a video, and he and Pete and I were kind of texting about this too, where one potential scenario with so many, like I think oftentimes we look at things through the prism of what benefits the Lakers rather than like, you know, other teams maneuvering based on what the Lakers have already done. So Jovan, you know, there's basically two trains of thought here, as you know, like the Brooklyn Nets, they drafted a guard to go with the 73 other ball handlers that they have on their roster. They used a big chunk of their cap space on Julius Randle, who needs the basketball. Like, it just doesn't seem like the best opportunity for Austin there. The Bulls used a bunch of their cap space to bring in Nick Claxton. They already have Josh Giddey there. And so, like, you know, that kind of limits the opportunity there for Austin, as well as the amount of money. They've also never really been linked seriously to Austin to this point either. Detroit is apparently in on Norm.
Tyler Hero.
Tyler Hero. And why do I always blank on Norm's last name? I only know him as Norm.
Powell. Yeah.
Powell. Thank you. Well, I think of Norm Richardson, who used to coach the University of Arkansas, and Norm Macdonald, the absolute icon in comedy. So Norm Powell is somebody who has been linked now to the Detroit Pistons, you know, as a real threat to sign him away from Miami. I also like the idea of going after a Norm Powell if you're the Lakers. Like if it's roughly the same amount of money for him as it would be for like Luke Kennard, I'd rather have Norm Powell. I don't think it would be, but you know, just in case, if it does play out that way, if it does break that way. But yeah, so for Austin, you know, we might look at this through the prism of, well, the market dried up for Austin. Does that mean that the Lakers can now negotiate a little bit harder with him? Another way to potentially look at it though is, well, maybe he and the Lakers have already landed on a number together. And a lot of these teams that would be threats for Austin have actually moved off of him as a possibility, with the idea being that he has agreed to a number. I have not heard anything to any extent that I'm comfortable kind of talking about on here as far as like either of those scenarios. I actually think that we should probably take that second one more seriously than you know maybe we would like to, that he, because we, I, one thing I will say is that like him and his camp you know they are on very good footing with the Lakers organization, so like it honestly wouldn't surprise me if he and the Lakers have actually already agreed to a number, just like it wouldn't surprise me if the Lakers and LeBron have already agreed to a number based on also the way that the rest of the market is playing out. But what do you make of the way that the offseason has kind of broken for Austin so far?
Yeah, I don't really like, I would be surprised if they haven't come to some type of number already. The way I look at it is kind of, we didn't talk about this on the show, but you know, Trae Young's contract, right? Everyone had like, whoa, what, why did Washington do that? And it's not because some other team, or maybe Trae Young had an offer out there. Who knows? That hasn't really been reported or anything like that. But I think the relationship between Trae and the Wizards was important. And they obviously have been talking since he was traded there, right? There, these conversations, I'm sure, didn't start on June, whatever. I'm sure Trae Young and the Wizards had a long conversation. And that's why Trae Young opted out of his $49 million player option. And everyone's like, what the, why did he do that? And it was to do this, which was sign a 4-year $212 million. I would think the Lakers and Austin, like the outside circumstances don't really change much of whatever number they were coming to. Right? I would just be surprised if, you know, they were sitting there watching the Nets take a guard and, you know, the Lakers feel like they got, like, that's not really the way you want to step into a relationship with a player you're about to pay X amount, right? You're about, Austin's about to become and he already is, but just in terms of salary rise, he's going to become a very core part of the team. That's not really the way you go into this, is nickel and dime every penny, I guess, is kind of the way I would look at this. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But I'd be shocked the Lakers and Austin don't already have a number in their head. And yeah, and Austin's salary next season really doesn't impact what happens this summer either. So all those factors going in, I think they'll have a number that they've already come to, and that number will come out, you know, whenever this begins.
Well, to quote the philosopher Darius Soriano, yes and no, right? In the sense of like their cap flexibility right now, Austin's number, what he eventually signs to, doesn't really matter that much.
Right.
But as far as like their flexibility for like if they operate as an above the cap team and are forced by one of their moves to remain under the first apron, right, depending on which like exception they use or what kind of trade that they make, the number that Austin signs, that does actually really matter in that case. And then, you know, moving forward beyond this season, whatever number Austin signs at now, if he signs an escalating contract, then that does impact their flexibility
here. Sure. Forward.
So those are the only, like, it's somewhat pedantic there. I know, but end of the day, I'm of the opinion that Austin and his, you know, his agents and the Lakers are on good enough footing that I'm with you. I think that I'm not saying that a number has already been agreed to. It just seems like the kind of thing that would make the most sense. But I will also say though, that like, I also don't think it's the kind of number that's going to piss off a whole bunch of people here on the show. So,
but we'll see. By the way, the Spurs took, Jared Quaintance.
He was not. It's okay. A great pick for the Spurs. He is, because they don't really need, you know,
right,
high like first round type talent as an addition to their roster next year. It's a great pick for them, but no, he was not the pick that I have.
He's like one of the.
I'm not gonna say who it is.
He's like one of the four guys that I actually like went and looked and was thinking I would like him, even if he was not, even if he wasn't gonna play that much next season. I honestly didn't think whoever was picked here was probably playing very much. That's just the way JJ and the team has operated with rookies. But yeah, so Spurs obviously do what they do and make the right pick at that selection.
He makes so much sense for them. Like, him and Wemby as a front court is fucking terrifying, right? Like, I thought one of the things that team kind of lacked next to Wemby this year was kind of a physical, more athletic forward next to him. And it was like, he's... We found him. So annoying. But no, he was not the guy that I'm hoping falls to the Lakers. We have four picks to go. I would be absolutely dumbfounded if he does fall to the Lakers.
I'm sorry, Anthony. AJ went number two already. Sorry, he's not falling. Like, he's not. It's over.
It was this guy, Darren Peterson. No, it's not. It's
Cameron Boozer went already, man. Sorry. Yeah, he's not.
So the pick is in for Detroit. Technically, all right, so let's see who they wind up taking. I haven't been paying attention. Oh, they took Kareem Lopez, not the guy that I wanted, although he I do kind of sort of like him. But that means three picks to go, and the guy that I'm hoping for is on the board. Three picks to go. It's going to happen, and I'm going to crash out because it made me wait 2 fucking hours.
This is insane. There's another round tomorrow? That is nuts.
Yeah. By the way, although, like, four people watch that, and all of them are streaming.
That's true. Yeah. Also, Rob's going to talk, too, so, I mean, I...
Yeah,
yes, and
Jovan texted earlier that he's at the facility. So yeah, we will see what Rob has to say about what he does or does not do with the pick here so far. The Lakers have options, though. It's broken okay for them because, like, I'm not going to mention who it is, but Sanak isn't one of the guys that I'm kind of interested in. But Sanak is somebody who I think makes sense for the Lakers. He's not the guy I would lose my mind if somebody took him, though. Detroit already picked, so we will see who it will be. I'm not seeing...
It's Carr.
Huh?
It's Carr.
You guys can't make me... You guys, like, do you guys want me to say this dude's name on the show? And then if it doesn't happen, you will have successfully jinxed it. So do you want me to say who it is or not? Like, I'm not, you know, what's the line from The Office? I'm not superstitious. I'm a little stitious. But I think the Lakers have some options here at 25 if they do keep the pick, which it has always seemed likely they were going to do going into tonight.
We have a few minutes still, right?
We might have a few fucking days.
would you give all the first, like, obviously take out the history and the outside stuff, just straight up transaction wise, would you give up all three first for Jaylen Brown?
You have Luka and you have Austin. Losing Austin.
No, if you're keeping Austin, so you have Luka and Austin. And you have Jaylen, you're adding Jaylen Brown to that. Now that cuts off everything else you can spend, but would you do that this summer? I've gotten polarizing like answers on this. There's some people said hell yes, and some people have said hell no.
I don't think I would.
Okay.
And it's not from a talent standpoint or like a fit standpoint, basketball wise, is from a fit standpoint, personality wise.
What do you
because
mean?
Jaylen Brown is on the record saying that this was his favorite year ever. He won a championship and a finals MVP in a different year.
Sure.
You know? And you know why he said it was his favorite year? Is because he got to cook. It was his team.
I'm gonna defend Jaylen Brown a little bit on
that. Well, hold on. On top of that, over the weekend, we actually heard a report that Jaylen Brown would welcome a decision to be made shortly, was I think what like Chris Haynes reported on it. But he would welcome a trade. And you know why he would welcome a trade? Because if you went to Milwaukee, it would be his team. I think Jaylen Brown would rather win 39 or 40 games on a team that he averages 35 a night for then win a championship. And I don't necessarily want, like, I don't think that guy meshes with Luka Doncic in the amount of time that Luka spends on the ball.